grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, we learn that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Right? So we should expect hardships, trials, troubles, temptations in this life. All right? Anyone who is a Christian and thinks that their life ought to be a breeze with no troubles is in for a sad surprise. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, St. Paul tells us that since we are justified with faith, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only do we have peace with God, but we also, by faith, have access to the grace in which we stand. So we have gracious access to God at all times. And not only that, but we stand in hope of the glory of God. That is, we have the earnest expectation that we are going to have eternal life in the kingdom of glory. So this is great. We have peace with God, we have access to God's grace, and we are earnestly expecting the coming kingdom of glory. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says this funny little thing that immediately makes us go, eh. He says, and not only so, he says, but we glory, we boast in tribulations also. I don't know when the last time you boasted about your troubles. It's been a while for me, right? Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. We boast about the fact that we have hardships. Why? Because we know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience endurance, and endurance expectation. And expectation does not leave us disappointed. In other words, God is using trials, troubles, tribulations in our life. He's using them to strengthen us. If our faith did not have anything challenging it, our faith would become flabby and our faith would become weak and useless. And so God, he often allows troubles, temptations, trials to come into our lives for our good. Because when our faith meets up against opposition, we are exercised by that event and we grow stronger because it causes us to cling more firmly to God's gracious word. So now we are back in Matthew chapter 15, where we have the familiar story of the Canaanite woman who was going through a severe trial. It says that her daughter was badly demonized. Somehow or other, this woman's daughter had been taken possession of by a demon. And this demon was causing all kinds of havoc, not only in the girl's life, but in the mother's life and in the community's life as well. This was a tough trial. And so, she comes to Jesus, right, asking for his help. She believes in him, right, and she is asking for his help. Now, let's think of ourselves for a minute here. We have had many experiences in our lives of various different kinds. I'm sure you can fill in the blanks for yourself as I'm speaking here, where you have come to the Lord in prayer for help, And you have come in earnest expectation that he will hear you. In this account in our gospel lesson, you and I are being shown that sometimes, even when we are going through grievous needs, God chooses to try our faith. So what happened to this woman happened for her sake, but more than that, it happened for our sakes. So that when we read this, we can see that sometimes, even when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, trials come. You have, for example, had the experience where you have been praying to the Lord for help, and it seems like God's not paying any attention to you. It seems like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and coming right back down upon you. It seems that God is delaying any help, if he's sending any help at all. We have all had that problem of feeling that God doesn't care about my problem. Right? Here, this woman comes to Jesus. She comes to Jesus in faith. She says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." She calls him Lord, and she calls him Son of David. You are the promised Messiah of Israel. You're the Son of David. And she says, "My daughter is terribly demonized. She's grievously vexed with a demon." All right? And it says in our text here, he answered her not a word. Jesus ignored her. He paid no attention to her. He acted as if she didn't exist. All right? Now, here's where you and I have been. We have had a need. We have prayed. Nothing seems to be happening. We feel that God is not paying attention to our prayers. Why does that happen? Well, first of all, it happens because sometimes we mistake God's timing for his inattention. But other times, it is because we are so bound up in our trouble that we immediately, when we don't get an answer immediately, we think that God is ignoring us. And so we have the experience that this woman has, all right? And that is that sense that God doesn't care about me. God is not paying attention to my prayers. God's not answering my prayers, all right? So there's the first trial that Jesus chooses to bring into this woman's life for her good. Just like the trials that have come to you in your life are for your good. It's not that the things were good, right? There's plenty of bad stuff that happens to us in life. It's not that the bad stuff is good. It's that God has a good purpose even in the bad stuff. And so, he answers her not a word. And it's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing that even the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, do what she wants. Give her what she wants. This is embarrassing. She's running after us, crying and squealing," right? And so the disciples are like embarrassed that Jesus would be so harsh to a woman who is such need, right? And so Jesus says, not to the woman, he says to his disciples, he's still ignoring the woman, right? He says to his disciples, "I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now the woman hears this. She knows she's not an Israelite, right? And Jesus says, "I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, she hears him say this to his disciples, and she is undeterred. She came, she worshiped him, and she said, "Lord, help me." You and I have been here too. When we have, when we have in our time of trial, And in our time of waiting for God's help in a particular situation, we have said, well, you know, these promises of the gospel are for other people, but they don't apply to me, right? That God's promise to help, God's promise to be merciful, God's promise to answer and hear our prayers, that applies to the right kind of people. I'm not the right kind of person. Therefore, I shouldn't really expect anything from God, right? We've all had that sense of, why am I bothering to pray? I'm not the right kind of person. You know, there are other people in the congregation, other people in that I know who are much better Christians than I am. They are more faithful. God blesses them and answers their prayers. But me, I can't really expect that because I'm not the right kind of person, right? I'm not worthy. And we've all been there in our life. You know, yeah, God answers my wife's prayers all the time, but my prayers, not so much, right? We've all felt that way. So here, she hears this, but she will not be deterred. And she comes, despite this rather discouraging statement from Jesus, Lord, help me. Now Jesus is going to give her the final coup de grace of talk about questionable pastoral counseling. He answered and said, it's not right to take the children's food and throw it to dogs. Ow, right? She's a Gentile. She's not a Jew, and therefore, she doesn't deserve this kind of. She's the wrong kind of person. She's a sinner. She's not a saint. So he said, it's not right to take the children's bread, the children's food, and throw it to the dogs. She immediately takes him up on it. Now, maybe you and I would have kind of turned around and walked away moping, right? Or worse, right? But this woman is something else, right? She hears him say this to her, right to her face. And she says, truth, Lord, right? Truth, Lord. What you're saying is true. Right? She admits it. I'm a dog, right? I don't deserve anything, right? And she says, yeah, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Do you have a little crumb for me, right? She takes this harsh statement of Jesus and she turns it around and she hands it back to him. And he is delighted. He is delighted. He goes, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou hast desired. So he is impressed and he is incredibly delighted that what he sent into her life, not the demon-possessed situation with her daughter, but the fact that when she came, she had to undergo the trial of her faith by Jesus himself. Just like he tries us in our faith to see whether we will be faithful or whether we will not. Now, here's the thing that is especially comforting about this passage. Not only is Jesus delighted with this woman's reaction, but also remember this. When you read the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is down by the Sea of Galilee. He leaves with his disciples, goes all the way up and around and up and down hill and dale, comes to the coastland of Tyre and Sidon, way away from anything else. I mean, it's a long walk, and it's far off the beaten path. And then he does one thing, and then he walks all the way back to the Sea of Galilee. Right? In other words, he came to that place to be there to heal that woman's daughter. And his gracious intention and work were already happening before this woman even knew that Jesus could ever possibly show up, right? And even though Jesus seems to be treating her rather discourteously, he nevertheless has already planned and is already putting in place the healing of her daughter. But she needs to have her faith strengthened by trial, right? And who knows this about you and me? God does. He knows what you need. You don't often know what you need. You think if you only had a little bit more money and a little bit more possessions and a little bit more friends in high places, that your life would be great, right? That's the way we like to think. If my life was easier and if it wasn't so trying at times, I'd be a really happy person. I'd be doing great. I'd be strong in faith. No, you wouldn't. You know why? Because you and I are sinners. We don't know what we need. God does. And when he sends trials into our life, he does it so that we will learn to exercise faith in the Word and in Christ. And through that faith, cling to the truth when the devil is trying to rip you away from it. Cling to the truth when the world is laughing at you for believing in such goofy stuff. Cling to the Word and watch God work. How your faith ends up stronger for having gone through the trials. That's why I picked the hymns that we've done so far today, because all the hymns have to do with bearing up and bearing your cross and enduring trial and tribulation for the sake of Christ. And so here, we often say, God's not answering my prayers. He doesn't care about me. Number one, I'm not, and number two, I'm not the right kind of person. And number three, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Those three things assail us when we are seeking help from God and when God delays his help from coming. But listen, hang in there. Trust the word of God and he shall bring it to pass. And remember that just as Jesus went all the way around, all the way out into the hinterlands to be right where that woman was in her time of need, even though she endured trials at the hands of Jesus, she nevertheless received not only his blessing, but his casting out the demon from her daughter. And so it will be with you. Our trials, they come and they go. But what's important is that we trust the word, that we do not let anything hinder us from believing God's word. We hang in there, we have faith, we endure. The Bible tells us all over the place, just got to read it and see how many struggles and trials. Listen, read the book of Psalms. David is constantly talking about his woes and the trials and the troubles that he has in various ways. And yet some of his most beautiful statements come from those very trials themselves. And so here today, we are being invited to take up our cross, follow Jesus, cling to the word, and not let God's word be taken away from us through our failure of faith. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.